Luke chapter 15. The message today is the God who excels in finding things. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. And he spake unto them this parable, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, and having lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Even so, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Matthew 18. Verse 12. How think ye? If any man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go unto the mountains, and seek that which goeth astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Jeremiah 23, 23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places, so that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Can any hide himself in secret places, so that I shall not see him? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that while all during the week there are so many voices clamoring to be heard, we are glad that this day is set aside when we can come and your ear is open to hear our voices lifting up your Son to thee in worship. And we are glad that there is this opportunity to open the Word of God and read it, that your voice may speak to us on earth. Tell us of heavenly things, of spiritual things. Tell us of things of which man knows nothing. And we thank you, our Father, that thou hast explained to us about the purpose of thy Son coming into the world, about the hearts of men. We are thankful that we learn these things as we listen to thee from thy word. And now, as it has been read, we desire that it should be explained, so empower by thy Spirit, and prepare the hearts of those who are listening. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, I spoke to you about the God who enjoys hiding things. And the challenge that he put forth to man was found in Proverbs 25. This is the way it's put. It is the glory of God to conceal, to hide a thing. The glory of man is to search it out. This is God's challenge to man. God says, I hide things. You try to find them. Today, it is reversed. And this is the way that we would read Proverbs chapter 25. It is the glory of man to conceal a thing. And God is challenged to search it out and find it if you're able. And that is why I read to you in both Luke and Matthew and in Jeremiah, because God accepts the challenge. Men have accepted the challenge of God. God said, I hide things. You search them out. Prove to be noble like unto a king. And then after that, man says this. He says, I am wise and prudent, and I can hide things as well. You try to find them. And God accepts that challenge, and this is what he says. He says, can any hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. So it is an unequal contest. When God hides something, unless he allowed man to find it, unless God placed conditions where man, in his finite capacity, could by searching find things out, man would never find out anything that God hid. And wise men have searched their whole life long, and they find so little. They only know the outskirts of his ways. And so God, having challenged man, man tries to find some things. And thank God for every man who does try to find the things that God has concealed. His ways, his truth, himself. Because some like Ezra, it says that Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And then when it was a matter of life and death, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sought to find out the interpretation of the king's dream, and God came to their assistance. So here are things that God conceals, and here are things that men conceal. And God challenges man and says, try to find what I've hidden. And some men do try to find. And if they meet the conditions, and God allows them to find it, then God rejoices that they have been successful in finding something that he hid. But now, the sad thing is this, that for some reason, man would challenge God to find things that he hides. And that's why I call this message, the God who excels in finding things. Because no matter what man tries to hide from God, God always finds it. That is why I had Psalm 139 written. Because you have a God who is omniscient, who is omnipresent, and man presumes to say, I'm hiding something. You try to find it. Why? Wherever man is hiding something, God is there. While man is trying to think a good hiding place for something, God already knows where he's going to select a place to hide the thing before he hides it there. And that's what he tells us in Psalm 139. And so God says to man, whenever he would challenge God, find something that I hide, that I conceal. God says, can any hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? I fill heaven and earth. And so he tells us at the first that it is futility for man to try to hide anything from God. But man does. From the first to the last, man will try to hide something from God. And you probably try to hide things from God too. Think of our parents. When they sinned, they realized suddenly that they were naked, and they made fig leaves to try to hide their nakedness, and then they went into the depths of the garden to try to hide themselves behind trees. And when God came, as usual, into the garden, and he called man, Adam, where art thou? And he calls him and asks that question because he knows where he is. And then Adam and Eve come from hiding behind the trees, and they confess all before God. They tried to hide themselves. Listen to Jeremiah 23. Can any hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? And our first parents tried, and they were unsuccessful. Now, there are some who try to hide themselves, and there are some who try to hide their sins. When God told Cain, the offering that you have brought to me is not acceptable. I want you to repent and bring a proper sacrifice. And Cain refused to repent. And God tells the New Testament the reason why. Cain was of the evil one. And not only did he hate God, and not only would he not obey God, but he rose up against his brother Abel and slew his brother. And when that happened, he comes face to face with God. And God says to him, where is thy brother Abel? And he says, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, he's trying to hide his sins from God. And God says, what hast thou done? The blood of thy brother crieth unto me from the ground. God knows what he's done. And no matter where Abel may be concealed, no matter what Cain might try to do to hide the devilish and satanic deed that he has committed, God is able to search out his sins. And not only that, but man has his schemes, and he thinks that somehow God cannot detect his schemes. This is what it says in Isaiah. Woe unto them that make deep their counsel from the Lord, that do their works in darkness, and say, who knoweth what we do? Who sees us when we do it? This is what Isaiah tells us man is doing. Woe unto them that make deep their counsel against the Lord. Man has counsels against the Lord like this. It says in Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the heathen imagine a vain thing? They say, let us cast their bonds asunder, and he that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. Here are men making counsels against the Lord, and they make these counsels in the deep, and also they work out their plans in the dark, and they say, who knows? Who sees us? You see, it is man trying to hide himself and his sins and his schemes from God. And God has already told him what he's doing. And he says, I see all of these things. And as David the psalmist realized in Psalm 139, he said, the light and the darkness are unto thee. And the enemies of the children of Israel realized that God knew everything that was going on, because when the enemies of Israel would plan a secret ambush, God would tell it to the prophet, and the prophet would go and tell the leaders of the army of Israel. And so when Israel was supposed to fall into this ambush, they would never go there. And finally, the enemies of God said, "Who among us is telling the enemy our secrets?" And then one of them said, "None of us. It is the prophet of God that is telling." And so God knows the movements, the plans of man. And what is so sad to our hearts is this, that even the best of men at times have deceitful plans and purposes, and they try to hide them from God. When David started lusting after Bathsheba, and then his sin developed, and he was in a predicament from which he could not extricate himself, then he called Joab, and he said, "I want you, when you go to battle, to let Uriah the Hittite go up into the heat of battle, near the wall, and then you retire from him and leave him unprotected." And what happened was that he was slain by his enemies. And David did this, and then when Joab told what had been done, David said, in hypocritical words, "Well, do not be concerned about it. The sword hath no respect of persons. It kills one as another." And so he had made schemes to make Uriah the Hittite go and lie with his wife so that the child that was David's, the world would think it was Uriah the Hittite's. But Uriah the Hittite would not fall into his scheme. And then when this happened, he said, Uriah the Hittite must be put to death. And then he thought nobody knew anything about it. And he went on and on in his life, until finally Nathan the prophet came. And you know that story that he told about the little ewe lamb. And when he heard of the heartlessness of this man that took that little ewe lamb and slew it, Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man." He said, "You had slain Uriah the Hittite and had taken his wife." You see all the schemes that man is trying to hide from God. And you are too. There are things that you think God knows nothing about. There are lies that you tell. And there are deceitful plans that you've made. And somehow you think that God knows nothing about them. And God has already told you in two places that you cannot hide yourself so that I cannot see you. And you hide deep your counsel from the Lord. And also, you make plans and you work in the dark. God can't see it. God knows all of these things that are going on in your heart. And one thing that causes us to laugh is when God was speaking to Abraham, and Abraham is 99 years old, and Sarah, his wife, is 89 years old. And so God is saying to him, and Sarah is in the other part of the tent, supposedly preparing the meal, and she hears God say to Abraham, "Next year about this time, you're going to have a son." And it said that Sarah laughed within herself and said, "Shall I find pleasure of my Lord, I being past the time of life, and he being an old man?" And she was chuckling within herself. Nothing was said. And God said, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And Sarah was afraid, and she said, "I did not laugh." And God said, "You did laugh." And so whenever you're listening to a man preach the truth of God to you, whatever you may say to him when you go out, God knows what you're thinking in your heart. Here is Sarah. She thinks that she is concealing the impossibility of her having a child when it's past the time of life for her, and her husband is about 100 years old, and she laughs. And God says, "Why did Sarah laugh?" And so do you understand that it is impossible to hide yourself, your sins, your schemes? It is impossible for you to hide things from God. Why? because God is one who excels in finding things. And the way he presents himself to us is not that he does it only because he is omniscient and omnipresent, but when sin is occurring in Sodom, and the report comes to him, an omniscient God has his angelic beings that go to and fro on the earth, and then they come and give reports to him. That's the way that he does things. And then he says, I've heard that sinful things are going on in Sodom. He said, I will go down and see for myself, and then I will know. And so all of you have had your hearts searched out, and your ways searched out, and your sins searched out. And so there is nothing that you can do or say or think that you can hide from God, because God excels in finding things. And the most terrifying thing is found in Revelation chapter 6, whereas our parents at first tried to hide themselves in the garden, behind fig leaves and behind trees. In Revelation 6, just before the Lord is ready to return to earth, it speaks about the kings and the strong and the generals and the rich and the poor, all of those who are enemies against God. They say, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of their wrath is come, and who is able to stand? And they try to hide themselves in caves and in hills, and they say to the mountains, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him. And so I promise you this, that what you are secretly trying to convey and to conceal from God, so that it might not be conveyed to him, understand this, that God already knows it. And in the coming day, if you are here, when God comes back, you're going to try to hide again. You'll be in a cave. You'll be in some secret place, and you'll desire a mountain to fall upon you and hide you. But it is impossible, because God finds out all man's sins. When the brothers of Joseph, who had sold him into slavery and deceived their father, that their brother Joseph and his son was dead, it says this finally, when Joseph was the second ruler in Egypt, it says that he took his cup and concealed it in one of their bags. And then they were going home with the food that they had taken from Egypt, because there was a time of famine. And then Joseph sent his men out. And they said, why have you dealt with the king this way? He's done you good and you've done him evil. You've stolen his cup. And they said, God forbid that such a thing should happen. Let the man be a slave in whose bag that king's cup is found. And they go through all the bags, and the money that they had given for the grain is in the bags. And then in Joseph's bag is found the cup. And then, as the Jews would say, ay, ay, ay. And so they said this. They said, God has found out the iniquity of his servants. Did they think that for all those years that God knew nothing about it, that their sin was concealed because their poor old father was deceived into thinking that his son had been slain by beasts? Did they think that God was deceived, that their sin was concealed? And so there is nothing that man can ever conceal from God. And so that is why God says, can any hide himself, or his schemes, or his ways, or his plans, or his thoughts? Can any hide these things from me, saith the Lord? And their answer is no. Well, then why do you try? Why not come and confess your sin? I remember when that woman touched the hem of Christ's garment, she tried to conceal herself, but it said she could not be hid. And the Lord Jesus came and spoke merciful words to her, comforting words to her. And the only thing that is done to those who hide their sins and their plans and say God will never find them, in the coming day God will expose them, and then he will punish them. But if one understands that there is nothing that I can hide from you, All things are naked and laid open before the God with whom we have to do. If a man sees that and comes and confesses all before God, his sins and his iniquities, then God will have mercy upon you. Because while God is one who excels in finding things, he is also one who excels in bestowing mercy upon those who confess their secret sins and who cry unto God, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this is what God would glory in, not these things that are so important to man, that God can know your sins and the places you hide and the thoughts of your heart. That isn't of any importance to God. But the thing that is of importance to God is what I read to you in Luke chapter 15. And in Luke chapter 15, it says, which of you, having 100 sheep, if one of these sheep is lost, will you not go and leave the 99 in the wilderness and search for that lost sheep until you find it? And when you have found it, you see, this is what God delights to find. God delights to find lost sinners. And then he emphasized it again. He said, what woman of you having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, does not light a candle and gather a broom and search the house thoroughly until she find it? And when she's found it, she rejoices. These are pictures of lost sinners, and God personally or instrumentally searching those sinners until he finds. And perchance, there may be someone who says, I am so lost in sin. I am so far from God in my sins. He cannot find me. I promise you that there has never been a sinner in the depths of sin so far from God that he cannot find you. Because God not only excels in finding things like sins and iniquities and schemes, but God also excels in finding sinners that want to have their sins forgiven. And that is why there will never be one sinner in hell who wanted his sins forgiven, as if God were searching and he could not find that sinner. You'll find that God finds every sinner that wants to be saved. Who would notice that man in Luke 18 who came into the temple unceremoniously and tried to hide himself and would not lift up his eyes to heaven and smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, that man went home justified. Because God not only notices those ostentatious, wealthy ones that go in and try to impress God, as if, oh yes, God would see him, but some unworthy, unimportant sinner that would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God finds that man. And concerning one who would flee to the ends of the earth to escape the things that are unpleasant to him, think of Onesimus. He fled from his master, Philemon, and he crossed the Mediterranean, the Aegean Sea, finally arrived in Italy, and went up the route of Italy, and lost himself in Rome. So he thought. But just as God said to Paul when he was a missionary, I have much people in this city. There was a sinner named Onesimus, who when the Spirit of God spoke to his heart through the words of the Apostle Paul, he would repent. And God found him when he thought he had lost himself in Rome. And so there is no sinner that God is unable to find. No matter how far you are from God, no matter how great the amount of sins you've committed against God, God can find you and God will forgive you. You might ask, why would I read Luke 15 and Matthew 18? Because in Luke 15, it says that the lamb is searched for until it's found. But in Matthew 18, it says, this lamb is searched for, but if so be that God find it, what does this mean? It means that there are some things that God is unable to find. You say, what do you mean God is unable to find? I expressed it that way because the same thing is expressed concerning his son. It says that when he went back to his own environment, when he went there, the people looked at him and they said, is this not Jesus, whose father, Joseph we know, his mother we know, his brothers and sisters we know? Whence did he get all this wisdom? And they rejected him. And this is what the Word of God says concerning the Son who had all power. All power is given unto me. He said this. It said, he could there do no mighty miracle. That's a contradiction. He could do anything. A man who could raise the dead could do anything. The Bible expresses it this way. He could there do no mighty work. Why? Because of their unbelief. There was only one kind of lost sinner that God can never find, and that is the sinner who will not repent. You understand that if you are a sinner and you are willing to repent, God will always find you. He will go to the end of the earth to find you, and he will find you. But if there is a sinner whose heart is hardened and he will not repent, just as it says concerning the Lord Jesus, and you have to interpret it, he could there do no mighty work. So God is unable to find an unrepentant sinner. But you will discover that the moment that you do repent and you want salvation, immediately you will discover that you have been found by God. And so there is hope for all sinners who are willing to repent. And there is not any hope for a sinner who will not repent. God cannot find you. God cannot forgive you. For this simple reason, there are conditions that God has placed upon the forgiveness of sins, and it is his justness as well as justifying sinful men. It says in Romans 23 that God must be just as well as the justifier of him who believes. And for a sinner who will not believe, God, because of the condition of salvation he's laid down, God himself cannot forgive you. He must be just as well as the justifier of him who believes. And so God cannot forgive sins of one who will not repent. But let me tell you one of the loveliest portions in the Word of God, something that God has found. It speaks about a man who is ready to perish, but then these words come forth from the Scripture. Save his soul. Deliver his soul from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. The most glorious thing that God has ever found for sinful man is a ransom, because it is not in the power of God to forgive sinners without a ransom. And it says God found a ransom. Now, man could never find a worthy one to present to God as a ransom. And it says, the cost of their life is precious. The ransom is beyond reach. But a ransom is found in his Son, the Lord Jesus. And God looked down from heaven and saw all the futile efforts of man trying to save himself and redeem himself and make himself worthy in the sight of God. And God said, useless. And so God sent his Son. And once his Son died on the cross of Calvary, God looked at that. And God found a ransom greater than that spoken of in the book of Job, and greater than that ransom spoken of in Psalm 49. But God found a ransom that could bring salvation to a whole world. And God can bring salvation to you. That way, God can be just and the justifier of him who believes. Why? Because the ransom is found in Jesus Christ the Lord. And you can never find a ransom. And you can never produce a ransom. You are just like those in Revelation chapter 5. God is sitting upon the throne, and in his hand there is a book close sealed with seven seals. And a challenge goes out. Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And God's universe is searched for someone that's worthy. And no one was found. And John, the beloved, wept much because no one was found worthy. And then a voice comes to him and says, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And when he did take that book, and when he opened it, there was an outburst of praise for heaven. Why? Because a ransom has been found, and also one who is able to bring to pass all the prophetical things that God has ever spoken in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Every promise of God, it can only be fulfilled if one is found worthy to open the book and loose the seals. And the Lord Jesus, that Lamb, as one having been slain, he goes and he takes that book out of the hand of God. But now, let me tell you one thing that causes us to rejoice as much as God finding a ransom. I tell you that there is one thing that God cannot find, and that is the sins of those who have trusted in his Son as Savior. You say, how is that? This is what God himself says. He says, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquities of Israel shall be searched for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I leave as a remnant. And this is what God himself says. He says, the time is coming when iniquities and sins of Israel and Judah are going to be sought for. And it says, there are none. They cannot be found. That thrills my heart because I'm wondering about what happened to my sins. I've been told that they were laid on Jesus. But what happened to them? I will tell you what happened. God tells us in Leviticus chapter 16, there are two goats. One goat has the sins born, laid upon him. And another goat has those sins laid upon him, and he bears them into the wilderness. Because one bears the sins as Christ bore our sins in his own body upon the tree. And the other goat bears those sins into the wilderness, never to be found again. And this is the interpretation in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 20. In those days and at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquities of Israel shall be searched for, but they can't be found. Why? Because that scapegoat has successfully borne them away to forgetfulness. And this is what Micah says. What has happened to our sins? He says, God has trampled them under feet. God has cast them into the depths of the sea. And Hezekiah says, my sins are cast behind God's back. And the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have they removed our sins from us. And this is what Jeremiah told us. He says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And so, if you mention sin in the presence of God, concerning one who's been cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, God says, I cannot find one of them. And that is the significance of the ransom of God. God excels in finding things, but he can find no sins in those who have trusted the Son. Now, which one of these represents you? God excels in finding things. Let him find you. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, forgive us for such foolishness as thinking that we can hide anything from you. And our Father, if Satan makes us think that if we cannot hide things from you, then all is lost, there is no salvation, let us understand that you, having found out our sins, you found one that is greater than our sins, you found a ransom, thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let it be our God that you, who are able to find all lost sinners, will find some sinners that are still hiding from you today. Let them, O God, not in that coming day, crying to the hills and to the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him. But our God, thy Son, having found us and redeemed us, let us look forward to his coming, and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. O God, excel in finding all sinners here this day, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.